Well, if you have your Bibles, you would turn in them to the book of 2 John, or the epistle of 2 John, and we'll read the whole letter that he sent, verses 1 through 13. So 2 John, chapter 1, which is, there's only one chapter, and verses 1 through 13. God's people, these are the words of God, so give your attention to them, for they are His words. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Those are the words of the Lord. This second letter of John, it says, is to the elect lady and her children. That is to a chosen woman, a Christian woman. And that's presumably a woman. It could be that he is speaking of a church. But lots of people debate that. And for our sakes, it does not matter today. But they are called, her and her children, they are called to love one another. Verse 5, and how ought we to love one another? It says by walking according to the Lord's commandments. That is living in our minds and our hearts and our desires and our emotions and how we act out in everything according to His commandments. But there's a warning here, verse 7, and this is probably, most likely, why he's writing. Not only that you love your neighbor, but even verse 7, that many deceivers have gone out into the world. They are of the world. They don't confess Christ as coming in the flesh. And therefore, verse 8, take heed to yourselves and abide, verse 9, in the doctrine of Christ. Remembering, though, that such deceivers willfully sin, and they do not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Verse 10, it says, do not receive such into your home. Do not. It is very clear. And as this may be to a lady or widow, and we have other application of this elsewhere in Scripture with Paul to Timothy, ladies, do not receive. And men, do not receive Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons into your home. And many others who deny the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And we see why, verse 11, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. You are allowing them to try to deceive you. You're just letting them in. Don't do that. You stop them in their place and you tell them that they need to believe in Jesus Christ. And you do that great evangelism we are called to do. Now, I said that there's a similar warning in 2 Timothy 3, verse 6. It says this, For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but not denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, beloved, as that is somewhat similar to this, to not be deceived, then heed the warnings and turn to Jesus Christ and obey Him. So be careful. That's the great warning here. Be careful of the deceivers of this world. Even ones who would come into the church, because we're warned in Peter as well that they come into the church and they are the wolves in sheep's clothing, and they try to deceive God's people, and we need to be careful. And so if they don't hold to Christ, if they're creating division in the church, which is against Christ, then we ought not to receive them, and the elders of the church should deal with them in discipline, or not allowing them to be there and calling them to believe in Jesus Christ for their salvation. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give You praise for Your Word. We don't always understand every part of it, but Father, Father, we give You praise that You speak to us, that You reveal Yourself to us, and we pray that we would be given knowledge and understanding of Your Word more and more, not for the sake of knowledge itself, but so that Your Word would do Your great work, as we just said, in our hearts and our minds and in our wills and our affections. Father, only You can do this by Your Holy Spirit, and so we plead that You would do so. Because we are weak, we are not even able to hear with our ears Your Word unless Your Spirit is working in our hearts and our minds and our ears. And so, Father, help us and give us Your Spirit. Fill us with Your Spirit and cause us to be bold in our proclamation of the truth of the gospel to our neighbors, to those we come in contact with, even to our children and to the world. For we know that there is one seeking to devour us, and he uses instruments of great deceivers or the many antichrists to do so, who even try to come into the church. Father, protect us and our congregation and all churches throughout the world, but our congregation, Father, protect us from error, protect us from being deceived, protect us from division that would come in amongst us. But Father, we do this because You're the great God who is on high. You sit on the throne, and so we come to You because You're sovereign over all. And You are the God who hears us and answers according to Your will. And we know that it is Your will that Your church not be deceived. And we know it's Your will that Your truth be proclaimed and exalted and Your name be exalted. And so, Father, may that be. And may Your gospel, Your good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ go forth even from our lips into the world. And many would believe unto salvation. That You would bring in many new disciples into this congregation and many the many congregations throughout the world. And Father, we pray that You would care for us, that You would be with us in our nation. We live in a wicked nation with wicked rulers. And so, Father, we ask that You would save them, as You call us to pray for our rulers and kings in authority in 1 Timothy 2. We ask that You would save them, that You would turn them from themselves and their selfish pride to the only Savior and the only name under heaven by which they can be saved and must be saved, Jesus Christ. That they would rule according to Your Word and the principles found in Your Word. That they would bow the knee to Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne, who is the King of kings, who is the ruler of rulers, who is the Lord of lords. And even if we apply that to our language today, president of presidents and governor of governors. And so, Father, we ask that as He sits on the throne, that You would bring this about and You would bring the gospel to all nations, even in our nation, which has rebelled against You. Father, we pray for those saints who are enduring flooding in Texas and other places. I'm sure there's other places that are being flooded. But Father, we pray for those, especially in Texas, our brothers and sisters there, that you would protect their property that you have given to them. And if not, that they would trust in you and your plan. We pray that you would watch over us and watch over the children of our congregation. We're thankful for Deborah, who is on the youth retreat this weekend, and we pray that it would be a blessing, would have been a blessing to her, and even worshiping with the saints in Winchester, Kansas this morning. Father, we ask that you would bring her back and that she would have grown in her heart, but also that we would continue to grow and encourage her in her faith, also Michelle and Michael, and then even our little children. We pray also for Becky and John. You would help his work schedule so he would not have to work on the Lord's Day. Father, we ask that you would be with Russ as well and the stress that he's going through with his job and working the overtime. We pray that that would be stopped soon and he would work normal hours. Father, we ask that you would not have that hurt him where he refused to work on the Lord's Day. We give you praise that you have upheld him in that and strengthened him to refuse to work on your day as we worship this day. And Father, we give you praise that you have brought all of us to gather together this evening to hear your word and to worship and praise your holy name. May your name be given all glory and praise and honor, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.